In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, it's another Let's Talk About Sex. We are joined once again by our London-based guest host Shutter and Bruce to talk about DL guys. From straight men playing with men to gay guys not wanting people to know who they're shacking up with, the Cubs spill the beans on their interest and disinterest with those who keep it on the download. Make sure everybody knows about this show as COL 372 starts now. July 3rd, 2016. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon. Everybody
dance now! And that makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast of Indeterminate Length, episode number 372. And for the second week in a row, we have special guests, Bruce Woo-hoo. And Shutter. Yay!
Hey!
Hi. Welcome back.
And thank you. It's been ages.
I know, right?
So long. My God. So long.
It's been so long. Let's find out. I don't know why I'm still in Texas.
Girl, I've been waiting to hear that for years.
But go ahead.
And then I find an answer to my question. The Alamo Draft House. And do you know how damn expensive is the move? Really? I would have to find a new job. It's just a pain. I don't want to deal with that. So I'm just going to have to live with it. But, you know, when you go through the quote unquote winter months here in Texas and your electricity bill is like $50, maybe $60 a month. And then you hit June and your electricity bill is $172.
Wowzers.
It makes me then question my sanity and still be here. Besides the fact there's Apple here, which I would like to be a full-fledged employee for. You know, there's things, and then we've got the Alamo Draft House.
Do you not have budget billing for your electric?
I've tried that. Complications. We won't get into
that. Got it.
Plus, besides the fact that there's like almost a full two weeks of like no contract work that happens at the end of the year, that having the smaller electricity bill kind of comes in handy. Also, my air conditioner likes to be loud.
How loud, you ask? Listen to the next last two shows.
And maybe this episode, too. But you'll see it in other words. And you know what? It's been fine most of the time. And then just all of a sudden, within like the past week, all of a sudden it started being loud. I don't know why. I'm confused.
Well, at least you don't necessarily have to fix it if there's a problem.
True. I just need to clean my apartment, so they'll come in to fix it and need to throw Sana into the either try to get her into the crate that I got her or throw her into the bedroom. So one of the two. which reminds me, I still need to take these boxes from Christmas out to the trash. Moving on, Damon.
Wow. When this show airs, timey-wimey, I will be in Denver, Colorado for the Gala Festival, Gay and Lesbian Association of Choruses. I'm looking forward to going to Denver. It'll be my first time there. I've never been there before. And it'll also be my second gala. The last one I went to was 2008 in Miami. So I have friends in Denver that I'm looking forward to seeing. Shout out to Scuff. But I'm also kind of looking forward to experiencing a new city and experiencing the gala again. It's always a fun time. So I'm talking in future tense, but I'm sure it'll be an amazing time. That's pretty much it. That's what will be going on as I start packing for the trip and getting things ready this week and final rehearsals, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. Gary?
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Yay! Independence Day! Oh, the aliens are back.
That's a movie. No. My apologies to Bruce on the call, but we have this little holiday we celebrate over here tomorrow.
Never heard of it. Can't be important.
Cheeky bastard. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Lacey admits it.
It's Independence Day, and I hope everybody gets their bang and their boom or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. One of them things. I don't know if there's really a whole lot to report. I apologize. I have done something that I don't do, and now I'm trying to clean my beard. Anyways, so.
You dirty, dirty man.
There's a bit of cream in his beard. Anyways.
I gotta put my phone down. What was I gonna talk about? I forgot. Anyways,
Independence Day.
It's summer. It's hot. Yeah, I hope everyone's like having a good time. I am. Oh, I know what I want to talk about. So recently, I went to a graduation party. I apologize, but please follow. So my second cousin's wife's
husband
daughter graduated high school. It's like extended family, but it was a reason for my dad's family to get together, and we went. I was a little nervous about going because my second cousin has been posting a lot on my Facebook in comments and replies to things, and he's challenging me and some of my friends on our viewpoints about certain topics such as gun reform.
Aha.
Yeah. So I was like a little nervous about going to this get together because I'm like, we're here for Jessica's graduation. This isn't really about you and your fucking pulpit or whatever the hell it is you're up to. So he brings up and he's like, yeah, I've been engaging a lot on Facebook recently and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sitting there and I'm like, I'm eating my lovely meatballs and sausage and salad because it's, you know, picnic potluck. And like, and I am not making eye contact because I'm like,
no. Balls and sausage.
I did. Hey, if I can't get laid, at least I put some other like relatively close meat in my mouth. But I'm fast. So, yeah. So he kept kind of like, and he's like, yeah, I'm sure Gary's sick and tired of dealing with me. And I'm like, girl, why are you going there?
Wow.
So
wow.
Long story short, it was fine. He said the one thing that kind of like drove it home the most. He said directly to me, he's like, Gary, you know, I love a good argument. And I'm like, that kind of explains why you're being the way you are. And so we had this discussion sort of as a family for a brief couple of minutes. And what it came down to is my point was he's expecting people to be able to critically think about contemporary issues that affect us. And I told him, you are looking for something that does not necessarily exist everywhere. So be careful about that. Meaning, I think in the American education system, we don't teach that as much, or for a generation or so, we kind of drifted away from it and people don't think through why they're supporting whatever they're supporting, be it a movement, meme, a political action, you name it. And that I find very troublesome because he's wanting people to explain why they have the stance that they do, be it about, say, gun reform or about women's rights or who to vote for in the upcoming election or, I mean, you name it, any of it. You know, he's kind of poking at everybody. And then I realized, oh, that's what he wants to do because he's kind of he's being a shitster.
Ah.
Not from the standpoint of like he has an absolute stance of one that you're wrong and I'm right. I think he's way more like trying to get a gauge of why people are making the decisions that they're making, or are they just click happy? like, oh, yeah, I fully support that, and reblog. Do you know what I mean? And, like, don't really understand the impact of what they're being socially supportive of, or social media supportive, I guess what I mean. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting to have at a graduation party. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, it's like, yeah. I just came here to give her a gift card and wish her well and, you know, eat picnic food and cake. Can we please leave that out of the party? That was my thought.
But we're not going to.
Well, I don't know. So we'll see. I have another family get together again with same said family, slightly different group for the youngest. Well, the only actual, now that I think about it, great grandkid, his third birthday. So I'm hoping we're going to leave all politics aside and we're just going to celebrate his birthday. So, yeah. Party, party, party. And Mr. Bruce, what about you? What have you been up to?
Well, in the last week, we marched in Pride London.
Ooh.
In the Gay Pride Parade. Yay. Yeah, it was my first time marching, and it was awesome.
So, yeah, that was interesting.
Wait. I want to rewind a quick second. Bruce, did you just say it was the first time you ever participated in Pride?
Yes.
No. Oh.
Yes.
First time he has marched in Pride.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that would be participating.
Well, no, so not necessarily.
You didn't ever go and watch from the sidelines?
Well, that's not participation.
Aha. Hmm. I don't know.
Look, it's technicalities. Basically, it was the first time he marched in the Pride Parade.
It's not the first time I have been to a Pride event. It's the first time I have marched.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. Record turnout, apparently. I haven't been able to find any reliable figures, but estimates of around about 1 million people in the middle of London. For the parade. Police literally had to, and this is like a good month in advance, limit the number of people that wanted to march in the parade. they put limitations on to the organisers for fear of security and issues and stuff like that. I think there's something like 40,000 people marched. Not entirely sure. I mean, compared to last year, which I watched, apparently this year was just, you know, 3 hours of the parade packed with people coming down the streets, practically no break, no gaps, nothing. It was huge. It was cool. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Barely walk by the end of the day, but
that sometimes happens on those things. And from my understanding, there were a couple of police officers that proposed to their boyfriends during the Pride Parade. That was on Facebook, and I saw that.
You can certainly finish that.
That was awesome. It's like the head guy like stopped everybody. It said, turn left. And then one of them came out and proposed to his boyfriend. It was one of them. That was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So if I recall correctly, you marched/walked with the Pup Kink, like leather grouping. Like, was it like a big mashup or all just pups? So to speak.
In the UK, there are two main puppy groups. There's a London-based one called Puppy Pride UK, and then there's the Northern England one called
Pup Social.
And I don't know why exactly or what the reasoning was for them merging, but they decided to walk together, which was fine. I mean, there was a technical reason why they walked together.
Well, I think they registered as two separate groups, and I think the organizers just happened to put them next to each other, both being pups, pup-related.
Right. You have to understand that in the UK, that puppy play is not a leather-based group like it is in the US.
Hmm.
So we were very much on our own. If you go through a lot of the pictures, you'll see that a lot of the puppies are in rubber and very few are in leather.
And actually, one of the other, sorry, what's it? I think it's the Puppy Pride Group. They are accepting of pet play practitioners in general. So a couple of the people there were, in fact, into horseplay.
And there was at least one kitty.
Yeah, one kitty, two ponies, several women, in fact. So, yeah, it's quite an additional mixture. So leather, rubber, spandex, whatever, you name it. Neoprene. Nice.
Mm. Yeah. Very cool.
And, yes, you, at the beginning of the week, sent me a request to find out about a particular pride float from a particular company.
Hold on. Yes. Jerry, mute yourself. Thank you.
So, yes, I don't know if you want to talk about that.
Yeah, we can.
Sorry. It was the Skittles company. Gary sent me a link earlier on. The article was about how they were going to turn up to the event, I think with a float, and be handing out packets that were completely black and white, completely devoid of all color. And the idea behind that was, it's like, you have the rainbow, we have the rainbow, but for this particular event, we're giving up the rainbow. It's all about you. It was a nice little kind of, how do you want it, statement or a gift, if you will. And yes, as we were sort of getting into position, we walked right past the float, and it was all in black and white, and sent Gary a picture. Unfortunately, we weren't able to snag any of the bags. But yeah, it was pretty cool.
More of like whenever you're thinking about rainbow right now, think about these guys, don't think about us.
Yeah, that was kind of
like trying to be more of like adjusting the focus to the people that should be focused on instead of.
Despite still having a huge ass float in the parade with Skittles written down the side.
Yeah, I suppose, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of, well, wouldn't you want to like say, hey, we've got rainbow too, but I don't know. I'm trying to justify, like, I don't get why they went black and white for it, because they were essentially like giving up the rainbow on it, but so I'm trying to figure out what's the symbolization.
The rainbow is a symbol of gay pride. And they were in the parade, and they didn't want to pull focus from the fact that they were in a gay pride parade.
Okay.
And I think in light of what's happened recently regarding the Pulse Orlando incident, I think they feel that a lot of people are empowered right now to wear the rainbow as a matter of pride. And because it's part of their marketing, I think they were like, you know what? We can honor that by not using that and still be a business, which I thought was a very interesting move marketing wise. That's why when I saw it and I sent that to you too, I was like, hey, is this real? Because that's really interesting conceptually, because they didn't do it here in the US.
Right.
Well, I first saw the video from Skittles where they were doing that, and I just thought it was a marketing video. I didn't realize that they were going to have a float in the parade for it.
Right.
And then hand out black and white wrapped packages of the Skittles. So I was I was more intrigued because supposedly the Skittles inside weren't even colored either. So
I can't confirm that. We didn't get a bag.
Oh, yes. No.
I think that was the idea.
Cool. Well, good. I'm happy that you went and you popped your cherry brews. That's very awesome.
Yes.
That you went and that you had fun. Maybe we'll put it in the show. The links, Chester took a whole series of pictures, which I thought was pretty cool, to kind of get a feel for stuff. And I will say this, since Pulse of Orlando and seeing Pride in that, I feel that London like has a way more significant community than I ever thought before. Like, I never really thought much about it, but I figured if I traveled over there, I would kind of not necessarily catch the community. Like, and now I'm like, now granted, Pride is not normal every day, but because of the amount of support and the amount of participants and stuff, I'm like, oh, that's very, very neat.
Yeah, there are plenty of us here. It's just, as you said, it's not an everyday kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Chester, what about you?
Let's see. So, yeah, we did Pride, and this coming weekend on Thursday, I'm going to head to Belfast for my very first time to Northern Ireland, and I'm going to visit my friends Ryan, which you guys might be familiar with, Belfast Cupcake on Tumblr.
Oh!
Is he your, like, pseudo-brother? Because that's
his name. Well, sort of. I've mentioned that to him before, and he's like, oh, no, I never knew you had that nickname. But I don't go by that much anymore. So I'm going to visit him and my friend John, who came to visit me in London the last time I was here. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I've never been there.
Nice. You're going to take lots of pictures of him, right?
Of Ryan? Yes, I will probably take lots of pictures of him.
Sure.
Hopefully shirtless.
He's a hottie.
Holy he cow. Is.
In various states of undress.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. With any luck.
It's all right. He won't get this before it happens. So.
Nice. Interesting. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to stop looking at that Tumblr and back to the show. Jeff? Are you on mute?
Sorry. I forgot if we had any like intermittent things. We're going right into this! Let's talk about sex. Hey, what do you know? I actually remember the clip. So it's time for another one of those episodes. Let's talk about sex. We're actually kind of following up to something we were talking about a couple weeks ago. The DL.
Gary.
Mm.
What?
Well, you're the one that brought it up. Come on.
Oh, well, the way you pitched it to me, I was like, what? I ain't no expert on this. Don't be. No. Don't be acting like I got all the story on the DL deal. I can't I'm remember. Like, go ahead.
If I'm remembering, you don't remember where we got it from?
I don't remember what episode. It was a sidebar kind of conversation, I thought.
Yeah, I don't remember our episode, but I know where it sort of came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were talking with, you had started listening to episodes from M3, Male Media Mind, right?
Correct, correct, correct.
Yeah.
And so Male Media Mind, M3, which for those of you that are not aware is a podcast. Well, they had a podcast, and I say had because it hasn't been updating audio wise. So I think they're still sticking to like YouTube and video type stuff, or in Google Plus maybe. But it's a African-American gay male centric podcast. And they talked about the DL factor. They talked about, you know, guys who hook up on the side that aren't gay, quote unquote. And I had briefly mentioned in the show about this, and we said maybe we'd do a show about it. So mm-hmm. Here we are. I wanted to know what our experiences and thoughts are on this concept of guys who hook up that aren't part of the community. So, but you can probably tell like they have an affinity or an interest or are kind of adjacent or something. Do you know what I mean?
Huh. Kind of. Sorry. I got distracted by conversations. So personal experience, so I live in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, I'll just blanket it. I lived in Kentucky for many years, and I've experienced this a lot. Guys on the down low, married, bisexual men who, for one reason or another, have to go through this process to fulfill their desires, as it were. It's an interesting take on things. Not take. It's an interesting dynamic for me, just based on what I've experienced in my life, in my sexual life, as it were. My first quote-unquote boyfriend when I was in college was technically a DL guy. Actually, not technically, he was. Yeah. But go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, did you know at that time when you met him that that's what was going on, or did you figure that out over time?
Not exactly. So I'll tell the story and I'll try to keep it short and sweet. We met on Yahoo Chat, of all places. So that tells you how long ago this was. We met on Yahoo Chat, and when I went back to Louisville to visit family, we met up. We fucked, to put it simply. And it was the start of the relationship in that sense that we were we both knew what we liked, and we were very friendly, and we cared a lot for each other. I went away back to college, and he came down to visit. Some things happened. I was still kind of newly out, not really out yet. And I had been talking with another friend at college about it, and I told him about it, and he seemed very more than a little concerned about talking about being out and all that stuff, or talking about, you know, him being in a relationship with me, et cetera, et cetera. A little more than I thought. I went back home for another holiday. I'm thinking Thanksgiving or Christmas. And that's when he picked me up, and we drove to a parking lot, and he told me the truth. That he, you know, was married, that he had a child, and wanted to let me know this now, that because he was falling for me, and he wasn't sure how to deal with it, and he knew how I felt, but he wasn't sure how I would feel about this. So we continued for a little bit after that, but I decided to break it off because I didn't want to be the quote unquote other person, the other woman, you know, as it were. And that's kind of how I felt it was. And especially since he didn't say anything ahead of time, made it difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's my DL story kind of thing.
Well, did you feel growing up that there was a lot of that going on in your community area?
After him, I saw it a lot more. You know, you saw a lot of guys doing, you know, being married and being, you know, where I went to school, I went to Berea, Kentucky, so southeastern Kentucky, and this was in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it was still we still had that, you know, homosexuality not being as accepted as it was, as it is kind of now. So you had these issues of you know, people who didn't want to be out. And you also still, on the flip of that, you did have people, and we were in a college, so you had, you know, young kids that were gay as fuck, you know, out there. So it became this interesting dynamic that I saw of these people that weren't out and were still trying to find what they wanted or needed, in a sense, and the methods by which they did that.
Okay. Yeah, I have, well, I was just going to say I have not, but the first guy that I kind of really dated post-college was slightly DL. And the reason I say it kind of cryptically like that was his family didn't know at all, but he was working here for a project traveling. And he was with a whole crew of people, and his company put him up in the place that he lived in. And his boss was gay, you know, the other team members knew that he was gay, like, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But interestingly, I had kind of moved in with him, and he revealed to me that his boss said, well, if he's going to live with you, then that's going to affect your compensation, because they had a thing that if you were if you didn't have a partner and no one was living with you, then you got a free round trip airline ticket once a month to go visit family and that. But if you had someone with you, then they thought, like, your emotional well-being, quote-unquote, like, you know, was more satisfied because you had someone with you as opposed to traveling home or going someplace. And so his boss was like, yeah, because he's over there all the time and basically living with you, we're going to have to take that away. And that became an issue because then he asked me if I would consider not staying there as often so he wouldn't lose his perk. Quote unquote.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it kind of turned into this weird thing, and it's like, and I really felt like he was treating me like he wanted to keep it on the DL. Like, I didn't know that at the time. I didn't have a label for it, but I was just like, I honestly just thought he was being an asshole. But
yeah.
That's probably about the closest I have to that outside of hooking up with guys when I first started meeting people locally, but it was purely at like the adult bookstore type situation. Like that was a common thing for you, Damon?
I was of the age of, you know, things started happening online more often now. So I was in like gay.com chat rooms and AOL chat rooms and stuff like that, and you would have the those sort of conversations. You had the, when I would go home for the summer, I remember specifically, because Louisville, you know, has a pretty interesting adult scene. There's a area on 7th Street that there's like go-go bars and granted they're straight, and then there's adult bookstores and all this stuff. But so I remember going to those and encountering, I would consider, you know, not everyone, but most people there were there for the sake of finding the, you know, getting that need fulfilled of, you know, being kind of DL and whatnot. And I've recognized behavior patterns in some of them, but I can go on and on about that. But yeah, I've seen that more often.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Chester, what about you? Being from Ohio but living out in the Midwest.
Sticks. Oh, God, it's so bad out there. If you go on Growler, half of the profiles on there have no pictures.
Huh.
And then lots of the other people on there that do have pictures are usually just of their torso, and it says the same type of things. D&D free, must host, married, I don't want my wife to find out, that kind of stuff. It's on any kind of, you know, like Bear 411 or Bigger City, Growler, any kind of those sites.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rampant.
Yeah.
So here's kind of what I'm wondering about. Well, and I don't want to skip. I'll stop for a second. Jeff and Bruce, what about the two of you?
I can't say that I've actually come across it very much.
Mm-hmm. I'm Jeff. More of a for me it's I'm more of a don't ask don't tell thing where I'm just like, hey, do you want to hook up? Great, come on over. Because, well, I like to host because I'm too lazy to drive anywhere. And so, whatever there is, you know, they're coming over to fuck. So
So with Jeff, you don't need to know unless they disclose it. You don't particularly care.
Right. Doesn't matter to me. There's some of the best
stuff with that. If that's all that's happening is we're getting it on, then no, I don't really give a shit.
Okay.
to an extent. I should say that it does annoy me that guys will go on there and not post their pictures for fear of, well, my employer might find out or my family might find out or to that extent.
I might find out.
It's hard to say to them, yes, I understand. Okay, for example, my ex is a physician. I live in a very small community of only 50,000 people. Everyone in that city who's ever been through the ER knows my ex. But he goes on Bear 411. I wouldn't necessarily say he's out and proud, but he also he's not closeted about it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where I said it's one of those things that for him, if he was closeted and he didn't have his profile on those types of sites, it wouldn't bother me given the nature of his job.
Uh-huh.
So why is it Farmer Joe down the road has such an issue with it?
Yeah, I see what you mean. There's I think one of the questions Gary was going to put up there was like the urban and rural kind of situation. And I've seen it when you're in an area where a bigger city, here in Cincinnati, when I was in Louisville, it's, Chicago and all that stuff, you see a little bit more openness in regards to, guys, wanting to hook up or wanting to, meet up or hook, play around or whatever. Going from there to now rural areas, like where Gorchester's from, where I went to college, I'm sure some of us have had those experiences as well. That weird everybody knows everybody kind of definitely comes into play. When I was in college, chatting online and stuff, when I was in college, I could tell who I was talking to 60-70% of the time, at least not the ones who, with the college students, because our college was only 1,500 people. So if you go from that to, say, a smaller city or a rural, area, you're going to have kind of that same mentality. It's not going to take that long to potentially find who someone is. And that's, I think, the fear is, what could potentially happen, the what ifs. Like if I were, talking with someone and they are gay, or if I send them a picture and they're, we have a falling out, will they be a vindictive asshole and plaster it all over the internet or whatever? It's those kind of things are the things that go through the mind of these people. Mm-hmm. And I feel that it's more so in a smaller area than it is a larger area.
Well, so that brings up an interesting point. Jeff, you came from my understanding in the Midwest before you moved to Texas, a more rural area, not really living in a big city.
No, I lived in Rochester, home of the Mayo Clinic and probably the fifth largest city in Minnesota. And I was frequently in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Ah, okay.
And so, actually lived in St. Paul for a couple of years.
So you've always kind of been a city guy as opposed to...
Mm-hmm. I mean, still, Rochester is still, you know, not that big of a city, but...
Big enough that it wasn't like, you know, the local farm boys were trying to put their dick in everything.
Right.
Nice.
What? I'm just calling it as it comes to my head. The reason I wanted to talk about the urban versus the rural thing is I just think it's far more happening where there isn't a collection of individuals together. Like, there isn't a sense of community where... So it's more possibly, I don't know for certain, that it's about outlet. Like, what is your outlet to meet other people or to get off?
I think that has a lot to do with it. The fact that you live in a city that can support a gay bar or multiple gay bars helps the closetedness go down.
It also gives you a degree of anonymity. Which wouldn't necessarily have in a very tight-knit community. If you're already living in a city where you can go out and you won't ever see anybody that you know except in a freak accident, then it's not quite the same as going down to your, you know, going out in a rural area and you know everybody. Yeah. So.
And that's what I'm kind of curious about, Bruce. Over in the UK, do you think that the DL is not really a thing, or is it?
No, it definitely happens. I mean, I said that I don't really come across it very much. I don't think people make as big a deal of it. I mean, there are plenty of times where, you know, whatever app or program website you're using, there will be profiles with no picture. Or they'll say, can't accommodate, stuff like that. But that's usually about as far as they will go into disclosing why they don't want to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they, you know, they have a job where they can't really publish their photo, or it could be any of the reasons that you've mentioned already. They're not. I don't think most people make much, you know, big deal out of, like, we'll just keep it on the down low, you know, keep it private. Mm. Sometimes they might say discreet hookups, or, you know, use words like discreet, discretion required. Other than that.
I think I've lived here long enough over the past year to speak a little bit about my viewpoint on London.
London's definitely going to be, you know, the more large metropolis kind of approach to it anyway.
There is a different aspect of being on the DL compared to other places. For instance, hooking up in bathrooms. Sites like squirt.org are very popular here. Bruce has this term called dogging, which is he has used before.
It's a thing. Huh.
All right, wait. Are we going to make the audience look it up, or are we going to define it?
Okay, so I don't actually know if I have the correct definition, but dogging is basically when people go out into sort of like dark car parks or... You know, park their car somewhere in a secluded spot, and have sex, and with the intent of other people that are walking, you know, in the area watching them. So it's like a public display of sex.
Urban Dictionary.
It's your late night dog walk, but yes. You're really not walking your dog. You're walking your wiener.
Yeah. Interestingly, according to Wikipedia, in September of 2003, the BBC reported on dogging as a craze fueled by the internet, and dogging is referred to as a British English, isn't that the same thing? Slang term for engaging in public sex, usually in a car park or a country park while others watch them. It has aspects of exhibitionism and voyeurism.
Okay, so we just essentially had this. It's Urban Dictionary Wikipedia with Gary.
And Damon and everybody. Holy cow.
I did have the last time I was here, I did have a brief encounter with somebody in a public restroom.
What?
Oh.
Now, okay. So where we live right next to a university campus. And there is this guy who would message me every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And he would ask me about hooking up. And he was very intrigued with wanting to play around in his at his workplace in the bathroom. And this is probably after about 4 weeks of him and I messaging back and forth. I was coming home from school and I was walking by the university. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. So I messaged him saying, hey, I'm right outside. Do you want to meet up? And he said, yeah, go to these bathrooms here. So nervous as all fuck, I walk through the university, find the bathroom. He's standing there at the urinal pissing, or I think he's pissing. But I walk in, I go over, wash my hands. He turns around. We acknowledge each other. He's already got his cock out. So I walked over, got on my knees, started giving him head. He got hard. I stood up and I was like, okay, that's enough. I'm a little too scared about this. And just as I finished that sentence, a security guard walked in.
Nice.
He immediately turned around, went back to the urinals, and I darted over to the sinks and finished washing my hands. Took my time washing my hands, walked out of the bathroom and just kind of casually strolled through the hallway waiting for the security guard to leave. And he finally did. And I was like, fuck this. And I went home. That was the only time I've ever met the guy. And I've tried messaging him since. And this is where the whole DL portion comes in. I messaged him things like, hey, why don't you stop by my flat because we live so close? And he's like, well, no, because your flatmate, you know, knows my boyfriend. And I'm like, okay, and why is this a problem? He's like, well, they're really good friends and I don't want to mess that up. And I'm like, so does your boyfriend not know you do this? He's like, well, no. We're open, but he doesn't really approve of me doing this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever.
Wow. Wow. So there's
our flatmate had ended up moving out. And then I invited the guy around again. He's like, no, no, we have too many friends in common. And I'm like, what exactly do you think I'm going to do? Tell everybody that we hooked up? Like, I'm not going to be doing that. And even so, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, I don't want my boyfriend to find out. And this went on for 4 months of us going back and forth, him basically sending me messages about wanting to hook up, but then I would invite him over because, you know, we have our own place that's, you know, literally a block away and he won't actually do it. I get back this time and he's restarted messaging me again. And I'm like, so do you want to hook up or not? Because what you're doing is leading me on and it's pissing me off.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So you brought up an interesting topic, and it's one that I wanted to – another part of this that we haven't really started to discuss yet. And that's the DL in the sense that they are gay men, are bisexual men in relationships with other men who are – not open and need you to keep quiet about things. But here's the thing.
He is open.
No, he just said he was.
But I've talked to his boyfriend as well, and his boyfriend is interested in meeting me. And it just gets deeper and deeper. And
this I'm like, should be right, a three-way, but...
Yeah,
it makes me think, do you guys actually want to hook up with me, or are you being in that thing where you want to pretend that you're closed, but secretly you're open.
Yeah. So there's this whole, that's another aspect of things that I, you know, wanted to, I did want to bring up that I haven't done in a while, you know, given this world that we're in, there are different relationships, obviously, you know, openness in regards to relationships varies. We've had a conversation about it before, actually a separate Let's Talk About Sex episode. And it's one of the things that has often bothered me as well in regards to these, like you were like, Chester, what you were mentioning about the whole, like, you know, clearly they're open in some capacity. So what's the issue? And, you know, that's where, you know, my mind kind of goes, well, if it's this game, as you're saying, then, yeah, it kind of sucks. But there's also this whole, I don't think they really, either they are or they aren't as open as they claim to be. Either they are, they have a different aspect of their openness, and one of them is playing around with it, meaning we only play together, but we're open, but we're only together, but I feel like I'm going to play with this guy because why not, you know, kind of thing. And I've seen that before. I've met several guys before that are in relationships of some capacity, and they're either not open at all, or their openness doesn't usually allow for individual hooking up. And that can be, to me, just as awkward and difficult as if they were married or straight men trying to you know, hooking up on the side, because that's really what it is ultimately.
It kind of sucks with this guy because he's really, really cute, as you can see.
As we're all downloading the image that's being shared with us.
But even the other day, what was it, Friday, I think it was, I messaged him saying, hey, what time do you get off of work? 5 o'clock. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't you pop over? He's like, well, are you alone? And I said, well, Bruce gets home about 6:30, but from 5 until then, yeah, I'm alone.
Right.
And he's like, oh, okay, sure. Maybe I'll come by and shove my cock down your throat. And I'm like, all right, well, yeah, that's kind of the point why I'm messaging you. Then about 5:15, I've jumped in the shower and I'm getting ready for this guy. About 5:15, he messages me and says, you know what? I'm not going to stop by. We went for drinks instead, which is literally directly across the street, and I can see the fucker drinking.
Oh, he's not joking. The pub is in line of sight from my flat.
Wow. Wow.
Well, there's a reason to go visit Bruce. What? There's a pub across the street? Okay.
Nice. So back to the topic at hand, just the whole DL thing. I could probably tell so many fun little stories, but I'm gonna stick to one that, again, college. I've grown up, quote unquote, so my ideas about DL guys have changed, but when I was in my young
grown up, quote unquote.
Yeah. I'm still a 36-year-old who watches Sailor Moon, so yeah. Anyway. So when I was in college, I was in Lexington. I was there for some event, something going on, and we happened to be at the Lexington Mall. There I was at the urinal, and this guy came up next to me, and we were alone for a little while. Granted, people were kind of going and going. It was a busy-ish bathroom, but he made it very clear, very obvious, that he was interested in doing something. So the bathroom cleared for quite a while. We stroked each other for a little while. Nothing to the extent that you had, Chester, of like getting down on the knees and actually doing something. But we were struggling for a while, and that's pretty cool. And then someone came in. So we stopped. I freaked out, zipped up, and made it to the sink to, you know, wash my hands. And I realized that he wasn't moving. So I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll just wait for this guy to clear up. So we waited, went back to what we were doing, definite interest. Then like two or three guys came in. So we're like, okay, we had to stop. So we stopped. I washed my hands and stayed there a little bit longer. He left. So I kind of took a couple of seconds and walked back out. And then I saw him with his wife and children. Female and children. Like, they were waiting for him outside the bathroom. I don't recall seeing him when I got there, but I know that they were particularly waiting for him to leave, come out of the bathroom, probably to go somewhere else. And I was just like, holy shit. You know, that took some balls, first of all. And that's the what I'm getting to is the whole aspect of this the potential safety is kind of my issue. We know these guys don't – sometimes these guys are looking – they want like the D&D free and they want, you know, all these aspects and they're all a little bit scared about catching anything. But at the same time – there are some that aren't knowledgeable enough about things, and they tend to let things slide. For example, condom use, not really, you know, taking care of themselves and clearing themselves up or cleaning themselves up, as it were, during, before, or after sex, and not knowing what or how to do certain aspects of cleaning themselves up and out, kind of things. So yeah.
To be honest though, that's not necessarily a problem that is exclusive to straight guys.
Yes, true. But it for me, at least in my experience, it's a little bit more prevalent where they don't.
Because how many guys have you been shacking up with? no comment.
I will preface by saying I had a very fun online life before I met him.
When?
Yeah. and when, like I said, when you go to a school that's, you go to an area that's, you know, rural, and then you go back to an area that's still in Kentucky, that's still kind of closeted in a lot of ways. You tend to meet these kind of people, and I hate saying it like that, but that's, you know, you tend to meet the DL guys, the bi married guys, the straight, but, you know, like to get their dick sucked by a man kind of thing, you know? So I've experienced life. I've experienced some of these people, and I kind of have seen some common threads, some common trends.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that it happens with all of them, but it does happen.
Right. So the one question I kind of had is, I want to know what you guys think. Do we feel individually or collectively that culture and or religion play a factor in creating a DL guy?
Yes.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Being in a Western culture, I think we're being gay is quote unquote okay. But if you are talking about Middle Eastern cultures, then definitely not. Because, you know, we don't have the same ramifications of getting caught with, you know, having gay sex.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas there's countries in the Middle East and countries in Africa that if you're found out that you're gay, you could be put to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel I have an agreement with that. I just didn't know if we thought that they really are contributing factors or if they're not connected necessarily.
And there are contributing factors even here on the West kind of things. As someone of African American descent, there is a couple of mentalities in regards to homosexuality that are not good. The ideas that, you know, essentially being gay is less than masculine, for example, and therefore having any gay inklings considered is make in some people's minds, in some African American minds, makes them less of a man, is one thing. The obvious religious aspects of some of that as well tend to come into play, and that's obviously not just African American men, it's, you know, in general, but there are also, it's definitely a aspect of it that makes it harder for anyone who realizes they have these urges and feelings to come to grips with. They don't feel they'll be supported.
Okay. Yeah. I think that is probably one of the biggest factors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the support issue. All right. And what I really want to know, wow, I just realized that was like quoting a Spice Girls song. That was awful. what I wanted to find out is, do any of you have an experience or have witnessed the DL within the gay male community? And by that I mean, and I think we referenced it in the other show, guys who hook up with guys that they don't want their friends to know about.
Oh.
Well, I think I just gave an example of that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that kind but, of, but I was thinking differently though, Chester, because like what the picture that you showed us was from an app that's used in the bear community. So I was thinking about guys who like big guys or hairy guys.
Okay, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean? But are like, they don't want their friends and family to know that they like they're out, they're gay, but they're
right.
Kind of, they're closeted about their attractions to the type, certain types of men.
Secret yeah. Chasers.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Hmm.
And I've never
experienced that myself, but I have experienced people at bear runs that I've played with that will say things like, you know, don't tell anybody we played around. And I'm like, okay.
Wasn't planning on doing it anyway, but.
I have had somebody, now that you mention it, I have had somebody say that to me after we've played around, which I thought was kind of weird. I'm like, dude, you're at a bear run. Get over it.
Yeah. So,
go ahead, David.
I've experienced this particular situation in different aspects. As someone who is bigger, bear-ish, you know, cubbish kind of type, I've had the smaller guys that are, you know, into me but don't want anyone else to know. Won't say anything at all, you know, try to not reciprocate any interest. When I, even though, unless we've had an established no strings attached kind of situation, I don't hook up nowadays lightly, as it were. You know, I plan on potentially re-engaging later on, you know, sort of thing. So if I happen to see you somewhere, and I will give a gentle nod or hello of acknowledgement and recognition that I see you there. Not always the case. That's sort of general, lightly kind of thing. But I've also had the experience of the people who don't want people to know that they're into black guys.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new one.
All right.
Yeah.
Jeff, what about you? Like three out of the four of us so far. Were you aware of this?
What?
About guys being on the DL about liking black guys?
I would assume that there would be people like that. I mean, okay. For all intents and purposes, there's being I mean, DL seems to have just gotten a broader term to people, but I think it's always been there. And it's really just about being closeted about something. And it's not necessarily being gay, about liking having gay sex, or who you're it's about being who you're having sex with. It's like being DL about being someone who likes playing bareback or something like that. You don't want anybody else to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's always been there, and you're just basically broadening the term, because I think originally when people think of somebody who's being DL, it's somebody who is essentially a closeted gay that doesn't want anybody else to know gay. But there's all these other aspects about, it's just, you know, being DL about being bi. Maybe you're in a gay relationship, but you love having sex with women, so you occasionally hook up with a woman or vice versa. You know?
Yep.
So it's, I would assume that if it's always been there, so I don't think it's necessarily of like, were you aware that people are like this, that they don't want to show that they like a black guy? And I'm like,
well,
yeah, maybe. I mean,
okay. The reason why I asked you,
I don't see why,
is because you have professed on this podcast that you have you are a Neapolitan ice cream kind of guy.
Yes.
But
we've talked about this before. I like chocolate and vanilla and any other color.
Right, right. But
I am colorblind when it comes to men.
To the D or the A, as it were, for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I like sucking in a little cock here and there.
So, but yeah. I've been under the impression that you, I don't know how I want to say this, that if chocolate's available in more variety, you've got no problem with that.
No, not at all.
So, but that's why I asked you, because that, like, I didn't realize till Damon said it, and I feel so, like, ignorant not thinking about that there are guys out there that are on the DL, like, they're out and they're gay, but the fact that they would hook up with a person of color isn't something they want people to know. Like, I was just kind of like, what? Like,
it just means that he thinks that everybody is racist or something. When you think about if it's going along that line, if you're trying to distinguish being color and you don't want anybody to be know, you would think that the other person that they're trying to hide it from is racist. I'm totally not racist, because I like chocolate and vanilla and every other color in between. It doesn't matter to me. I'm like, you would still have this sort of like, oh my God, you would have sex with a black person? Ew. If you're thinking along that somebody's being along that line, I don't know about you, but that's racist. I mean, yeah, it's not your preferred color or anything. So, you know, I'm not fairly interested in black guy. You had sex with black guy? Oh, who cares? Think about it.
Right, right. No. I agree with you, because I kind of feel that way. You know, some people are like, oh, I'm really into handballing. That's nice. I'm not. Have fun. So.
Is that a new kink?
Yeah.
Handballing? Handballing's not a new kink. It's a new name for an old kink.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it before. That goes back to Sir Alan being on our show before.
Mr. Alan.
Is that really a sir ever?
I don't think so. I don't know, but anyway. Moving right along.
Anyways.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just find it really kind of intriguing. I just hadn't thought about that before, but it's one of the things I think the DL within the geek community exists more than we recognize it. Because, and I say that for my local community, it was funny because, so my friend AJ's, and he's originally from here, but he's moved away and he's coming back and forth for family stuff. And he just said again, I don't think he does, he said it more than once, which is fine by me. He's like, so you know how when you're here, the growler radius is bigger than back home? And what he means by that is, like, growler only shows you X number of profiles unless you've, like, paid for the priority level, or whatever it is, right? So what he's pointing out is, like, when he's home, he doesn't get to see as many people geographically as he does here, because here there's less people on there. So he's seeing profiles up to 50 miles away, where at home he's only seeing profiles up to like 5 miles away or whatever, you know, because there's so many people there. And I find that interesting. But my point is that here locally, there are people that I find that are on Bro, Grr, Growler, Scruff, probably Grindr. Like, they're pretty much on all the apps, but interestingly, their profiles kind of change from app to app. And like, their descriptions on Growler are different than the other apps. Like, it just, I don't know. I don't know if they realize they're doing that intentionally. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that. So when I am back home in Grand Forks, when I log on to Growler, I can see people from Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a 5-hour drive from me. And to kind of echo what you were just saying about their profile changing from app to app, my profile on Growler changes whenever I'm in a different location. If I'm at a bear run, I will take off all of my kink-related items. I mention in my profile that I am kinky, but when I'm at home, I have a very detailed list about my kinks. Because I know that the people back home around my area, they're not going to be people I want to play with anyway. So I'm trying to lure in certain types of people. Now, when I'm in London, it's a mix of just a little bit of kink and just normal, I guess, every day.
And if you're lucky, a 2.5-mile radius.
Yes.
Wait. Are you saying that there's a lot of peen to be found in your area there, Bruce? Is that how that qualifies?
Well, the Growler radius is small, so yes.
Well, if you open up Growler from our apartment, there are probably 10 people within half a mile.
Easily.
Interesting.
If it's Monday through Friday, 8 to, say, 6 p.m., there are 3 within 0.1 mile, and those are – one of them is the guy that I just showed you, his boyfriend, and our friend Adam, who also works in this college.
I've literally opened Growler right now, and the maximum radius is 1.6 miles.
Wow.
So there are 100 guys within that radius right now.
All right. So now I got to ask the question I want to know. Did y'all open Growler while you were at London Pride?
I did.
I think I might have tried. I'm pretty sure the mobile phone networks were having incredible difficulty with all the number of people. I could barely get a signal.
I opened mine mostly to see if any of the puppies that I was with were also on Growler, and there were not.
Oh. Well.
So how do you tell your Growler radius? It's just like...
Go to the very last one.
Okay. So I got 3.8 miles from me right now.
Open the app and go to the very last profile in the nearby list.
Okay, so I got 3.8 miles. How about Gary Gaiman?
I'm looking. Give me a moment. Got to open my.
I've paid for Growler, just so everyone knows. And my furthest away is 12.5 miles away.
Yeah, I pay for mine, and mine is 2.9.
Son of a bitch.
Which not that I want to detract from the topic at hand, but if you're an Android user, you can install the app that allows you to do what is it?
The surveys.
Yeah, the surveys, and it'll pay for your Growler.
Huh.
Anyway, back on topic.
Sure. All right. So I guess we're kind of wrapping up. Or Gary, do you know yours yet? Have you
99.4 miles.
Wow.
Wow. I could see profiles in Toronto. Which is really annoying, for the record. I'm just going to say.
Because you're not actually close to Toronto.
Well, I'm also, right, I'm not in Canada, and I can't easily cross the border, so.
Again, you know. 99 miles, that's still a bit of a jaunt. I mean, yeah, maybe about an hour and a half if you're driving at 60 miles per hour, but still.
Well, that's 99 miles as the bird flies. For him to drive there, it's a lot more than 99.
Yeah, good point.
Huh. Nice.
99 miles and cock ain't one.
Speaking of, so I guess we're at the end of this the DL conversation. Maybe? Possibly?
I think for today, I don't know if it's going to go away. There might be more that comes about in time that people have
references. Leave us your feedback.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, I would like to know more from the listening audience if anyone has any experiences or thoughts on the DL thing, especially the I don't know what the hell to call it, the DL within the community?
Oh, I got a great idea. Uh-oh. So I listened to this podcast called The Angry Chicken, and one of their segments is crazy game stories. I would like to hear crazy DL stories. To send them in as we come, and you know what? And maybe it's just a new segment. We'll just have a crazy DL story. If any of our guest hosts currently on the show or later ever have a DL story, you know, let us know. Give us a call, 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK for an easier way to remember it. If you have a crazy DL story.
Is there a way for folks to leave us anonymous info? Or does everything require an identity?
Well, if they email, we'll know their email address, but that's really it. But if they call...
If they call, our thing kind of shows the... Well, I suppose the numbers block that might show up. Not show, but... I mean, for all... you know what? Gary, I think we need to make a Google form.
Ooh.
A Google form.
Yeah. We'll talk about
Why does it sound like I'm being put to work?
We'll talk about that later.
Kind of like these logistics expert. I'll figure out Google forms. But if anything, if it's something that you can actually get to, just go to cubsoutlaw.com. There will be a thing. One thing you can do, though, is you can send it in and just write it. Like, if you send us an email, just in the subject say anonymous DL story. And if you don't really care about anonymity, just do DL story or something like that. We'll read it where how you sign it. So you can also just change your signature. Just say anonymous. We've got ways of keeping you anonymous, and we'll keep people anonymous. But if you want people to know who you are, having a good DL story, we'll tell people. But we won't tell people unless you tell us to. So.
Okay.
But
is it time to talk about Dick?
Haven't we been talking about Dick for the past? Anyways, moving on. This steak is covered by Tidy Whiteys, but it's still a really nice view. Good morning, Tubby.
Wait. Nice. I am so not.
What? I just want to say that I love guys, chubby hairy guys in Tidy Whiteys.
That's sweet.
And this is a really good example, don't you think?
It is a very good example.
Well, the two of us will take off our glasses. I will continue to make sure my clothes are taken off too. And cuddle, kiss, make out, and do other naughty things.
Of course. Wow. It's a nice looking bear.
Very nice.
He's a good looking guy. I don't get the white underwear thing. It doesn't do anything for me more often than not. They're standard. They're ill-fitting. So, no.
I'll take them.
I think that's why I like them, is because you don't see them very often.
They leave a lot anymore. To the imagination.
Anymore.
Yeah, anymore. Yeah. You don't see them anymore.
Yeah. So Teddy wins.
All right.
That's fine. Damon?
Hungry. And there you go.
I don't think he has, like, I just ate ice cream. Why would I be hungry?
This guy's got some more cream for you.
Oh, my.
So you have a daddy, cigar-smoking daddy, with his cock out, stroking it, definitely. And he's, and it's over the top of it, it says hungry. Whoa. And the person who posted this wrote fucking starving. And I can't argue with that.
Wow.
Huh. Yeah. So there, right. There you go.
Not really my type, but it's all right. It's nice to... Gary?
Hmm? Oh, sorry. dang, nabbit. I forgot what mine was. Oh, how the heck did I forget? It's Sir Southern Comfort, otherwise known as Mr. NAB 2016. So this is not the best quality picture, but I couldn't resist it. It's My Thick Thigh Thursday is what he called it from a couple weeks ago. And it's of him in the gym. What I find hysterical is that it's a camera reflection in a mirror picture. And there's a guy in a towel to the left of the mirror who is an innocent bystander of the pic being taken, which I find hysterical because.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet Jesus. That man.
Yes. Yes.
He's got a great voice, too.
Yes.
Good God. And remember, he is Mr. Cubs Out Loud 2016.
Oh, yes. I forgot. We gave him a title that never existed before.
I still need to get off my ass and do something about that, too. I'm just going to do the thing. So, but anyways.
Yeah. Yes, Raymond is. it's hard to put into words.
Chester, really. Have you met him yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I want to say that he was at a run that I was at. Maybe TBRU?
I don't know if he went there or not. I can't remember.
I don't think he went to TBRU this year.
I don't believe he was at Tidal Wave.
No, he
didn't make it there.
I could swear that I've seen the guy in person somewhere, but I don't know where.
Okay, but so...
Anyway. No, I have not actually been introduced to him.
Okay, so you've already met all three of the main hosts of the podcast. Now you have a new goal of meeting all the guest hosts of the podcast.
Oh. Well, I've got Chess and Matt and Gabriel checked off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And obviously Bruce.
Bruce.
Mm-hmm. You met yourself. I think we got Mr. Allen. Hadrian. Have you met Hadrian?
I have met Hadrian.
Okay, so there's another one.
Times. Well,
and Bailey, his husband.
Yep.
You've been guessing on here.
Well, actually, my new task is to meet all of the Men of the Den people.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're just working your way through all the Bear Podcasts.
So basically, you're basically Chester is playing coverall with Bingo, and so far. there we go.
We need to make a virtual card for him to off and like check off.
My other goal was to make sure that I touch all of their penises.
Oh, okay.
And I'm part of the way through Men of the Den.
You haven't completed Cubs Out Loud, so. another trip around.
My score with Cubs Out Loud is 0.
So. And you know what? You were so close. I believe you were so close to my apartment when you were here. So, but something happened where you didn't end up coming.
We went out to lunch.
Yeah.
We could have followed each other under the table lunch.
Oh, geez, Louise. All right. That being said, back to the picture that I picked. Jason, I think we need to make a personal campaign to get Ray to go to Midwest Beer Fest.
Ah, that won't be much. I have a room.
As do I.
Let me rephrase. I probably have a room by myself.
Oh, you hateful. Oh. I technically have a room by myself, but I might have a roommate. I don't know yet. So
I'm joking, kind of. All right, we need
we're going to have to create a scorecard between us and our, I'm now determining them, calling them our sister podcast, Men in the Den. They're the videos, more the video side, we're more of the audio side. So we could be sisters that way. So we need a scorecard with two parts. One is one column for meeting and one for touching penis. Nice. I haven't figured out what the prize would be for somebody who fills up their card, but
hey, I'm still waiting for my prize for meeting all three of you.
Oh, here we go.
Touch our penis?
I could touch your penis. That would be a very good prize.
First you have to meet, then you have to touch penises. There you go.
So wait, am I hearing this correctly? He gets the second point for getting the prize of the first one?
It's kind of like one of those graduated thing, like you first need to get through this one line, and then once you got through that one line, then you can do the second.
Oh my god. Okay. All right.
Anyways, moving on.
Bruce.
So my pick was originally going to be a photo set of the ever woofy Brendan Gleeson. But while you guys were talking, I was scrolling through Tumblr and I come across a really nice pick. So it's oh yeah.
We'll put both.
Sure, why not?
They're both valid. They're fine.
Oh, they are. They are. It's a really gorgeous looking young cub. Getting plowed from the other end.
That is.
As I say, Damon.
No,
knows
I don't
who it
think
is.
It is.
No, I have no idea who this guy is.
If he's who I think you think he is, I don't think that's him.
Are you sure?
But who do you think it is? Just to make sure.
I have to find the name again because it's been a while. Bear with me.
He's in Bear Films.
Yeah.
Oh, is that still from Bear Films? Perhaps.
Yes. I guarantee that it is
Axel Brandt.
There we go.
I don't think that's him.
What?
I have seen him personally. I roomed with him, for Christ's sakes.
Check the tattoos.
That's where I'm going. Hello, Brandt. Hello. Google Images. We'll see if we can find a picture.
Because that was who I thought first, just because of something with the hair, but I don't think that's him. I don't think he has the things, the ear things like that.
It's him because, well, come on, Image.
I'm pretty sure that's not him.
I'm wrong. I disagree. And here is my proof because this is a still from the same movie with the same people and is Jason McNeil pals Axel Prance.
Well,
so there you go.
The picture's weird. I know the scene that you're talking about.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway. So, but still, thank you, Bruce, for that picture because, he's hot. And he's first as well, as we've noticed because he, you know, we were talking a couple weeks ago how he fucked Friar Biscuits. So, Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
I fucked sitting in here, but I didn't fuck Axel Brand.
Well, good for you. Anyway. Oh, God. Sorry. And I'm also looking at your Brennan Gleeson photo set. So,
Daddy Gleeson, yeah.
Yeah. That is.
Daddy Gleeson is right.
Daddy Gleason is right.
That is a cinnamon sugar bear.
He is always very pleasant to look at.
Yes.
Prefer him bearded, but still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. Beards grow back. Sexiness lasts forever. Well, always true.
But wow.
Anywho, but he, yeah. Those eyes.
My.
Okay. All right.
Chester.
Okay, so my Tumblr pick that I've named Beautiful Photo in Beautiful Cock. So it's a picture of a youngish, bearish guy. He's standing erect in metaphorically and figuratively. Wait, those are the same things, aren't they?
Actuality.
He's got a hard cock and he's standing up.
I was going to say, he's upright and erect is probably proper description.
Ba-dum-bum.
But it's a very simply lit photograph. It's the type of photograph that I would take of somebody.
Huh.
And yeah, it's just, he's very handsome to look at. He has this really cool Mickey Mouse shaped tattoo on the back of his forearm near his elbow. His cock is beautiful. It's uncut. He's got just the right amount of fur on his body. He's bearded.
Yeah. It's a good picture, and it's also, like you said, it's a good picture and it's a good looking person. Yeah, definitely.
And I think he looks a hell of a lot like someone I know out in California, but I don't think that's him. I'm trying to find a visual matchup, like one where this guy isn't clothed so I can match tattoos, but I don't think it's going to work. Damn it.
Oh, well.
Oh, well.
He kind of reminds me of Film Ben from Tumblr, but I know that's not him.
Got it. But
yeah.
All right. There nice picture. Picks.
All right. On to the dick pics. From the dick pics to the non-dick pics.
Ha ha ha.
Really terrible transition. In any case, so last week I was on Netflix watching Voltron Legendary Defender. And now, while I was there, I finished it up, Cursed, and started watching Transformers Prime, which has been around for a while. It was on TV, I believe, and now it's on Netflix.
Huh.
And it's, I think it's really good. Peter Cullen is back with his perfect Optimus Prime voice. I love Peter Cullen.
Oh.
Peter Cullen. I'm going to miss him once he dies. He's got to be old or something. How old is... Google, tell me. How old is Peter Cullen? 74 years old. So. He's up there. So... We're only going to have the perfect Optimus Prime voice for, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years more. We'll see.
Interesting.
Huh. Check it out. Transformers Prime. Yes, I'm being nerdy yet again. But is that really a surprise?
No, not at all.
Okay. Gary?
Okay, so I have two picks. One was the first one is intentional, but then the second one you'll understand once I explain it. The first one is DJ Earworm. He has made Summer Mash 16. So it's a 4-minute video mashup of some of the more recent pop dance hits that are summer based. So if you're interested, you can go check that out and listen to it and watch it. I suggest you watch it because the next link, which is a video on YouTube, people might hate me or love me for. I don't care. So you may be familiar with this obnoxious earworm of a song called Cake by the Ocean.
No.
That's by the group DNCE. I don't know what it stands for, but I want to know from y'all, because I feel like you have like done such a disservice. This video was posted October of last year, and I just found out about it by catching snippets from the Summer Mash video of this hottie that's in the video. So I had to like link the second video after I watched it, which technically you could turn the volume off if you don't like the song because it's an obnoxious earworm, which I just found out recently supposedly was made purposefully to sing about sex on the beach. I was like, that's interesting. But the concept of the video is a whole large group of women versus one bear guy. In a huge food fight with a giant piece of cake on the beach.
Okay. I can honestly say I've never seen this before or heard this before.
So, you haven't heard the video or the song?
Nothing I'm aware of. Well, we're about to find out.
Okay.
As I try to listen to this piece.
Jeff, Chester, do you familiar with the song at all?
I am not.
I don't listen to the radio.
Oh my god. Okay, I'm absolutely shocked.
You're like, oh my god, you don't listen to the radio? What?
No. I'm oh my god that you don't know the song because it's incredibly catchy. Like the.
As I said, I don't listen to the radio. What have I been listening to for this past month when it comes to music? I've been listening to Garbage's new album, which will probably be a future pick on the podcast.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah, you know how I learn about the pop culture music whenever it's brought up on this show. That, I suppose that's it. In our annual music shows.
Okay.
So I don't know anything about the song.
Okay. Well, anyways, if you watch the video, if you don't happen to know the song yet or haven't seen it yet, yeah. There is this big guy with a beard and sunglasses and a very odd, like, upright...
top knot.
Yeah, like, unicornish kind of braid ponytail thing.
I don't get it.
You don't get what? His hair?
His hair.
I don't care about his hair. I don't give two shits about his hair. I'm way more interested in everything but his hair, so...
it looks like somebody's haircut from Mad Max. But anyway, yeah. He is very handsome, yes.
So that's the reason why I have two picks, because like the first pick had the clips in it, and I was like, wait, who's the hot bearded chubby guy? Like, what music video is that? And I realized there was enough of it. I was like, oh my god, it's Cake by the Ocean. I'm like, are you kidding me? And I was surprised to see that the video got posted in October of last year, and I'm like, no one is talking about the hottie in the cake like food fight thing. Anyways, so yeah.
Well, they will now.
Now they will. Now they'll look at it and they'll see what's going on.
Perhaps.
Oh, one thing that I posted recently on the Cubs Out Loud page.
Okay.
But I can't remember if we talked about it. Was J-Mo in a music video?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did we ever talk about that?
No.
No, we didn't?
Mm-mm.
Okay. No. So... let me get the YouTube link here quickly. So Benjamin Cole did a music video for his song "I'll Be Good." There we go. There's a link for our Skype people. And it features Jeremy Morse, a.k.a. J-Mo, as a dancing on the tracks and giving his normal moves.
The video, by the way, was shot in Chicago at Bear Pride. When he went there as a part of, oh, hell, what was the name of it? Macho, I think. It was it's kind of a dance bar function, like production company or something like that. And then they did a bear.
It's like Barracuda, right?
Yeah.
Barracuda, where it's basically just like a dance party that goes to various clubs.
Yeah. So anyways, he was one of the dancers. There was a whole series of dancers up to and including one of my exes in a small world kind of way. I didn't know. I just saw the pictures that I was like, oh, there's Dennis. All right. Anyways.
So was it just 4 minutes of him dancing?
Well, in a song, but.
So. Yeah. The video. Yes. So if you listen to the song, the song's not bad, but yeah, it's J-Mo dancing pretty much the whole time. And
even in his Speedo.
Yeah.
Oh, out in the public. So.
Yeah. So I hope I'll reveal a surprise now that my co-hosts aren't aware of. We might be able to get soon an interview with J-Mo.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That surprise is another one that you gave us a while back, but you still haven't.
I don't find it back.
We still haven't done, but.
Well, that's.
I'm not surprised because J-Mo's like a really cool guy. We can easily get in touch with him. He's league in touch, so.
Yeah.
Yay! J-Mo!
He was a pedestal.
Yes.
For a while. One of our pedestal bears, so. Yep. So moving on. Chester, I think you have a link.
My link is to squirt.org. It can tell it, you can go on there and find all sorts of places to find penis out in public.
Nice.
Which kind of fits with the whole theme of the episode, the DM.
Yep, that's why I liked it.
Perfect.
Sweet.
So there go squirt.
Ha 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 ha.
And guess what, folks? That really loud air conditioner means that it's at the end of the show. Oh. Plenty of ways to contact us. You can pop over to our website, comesoutloud.com. Shoot us an email at comesoutloud@gmail.com. Give us a phone call. Leave a crazy DL story at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cubsoutloud, cubsoutloud.tumblr.com for Tumblr, obviously. Twitter at twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus at google.com/pluscubsoutloud. Join us over in the Bear Underground in the Cubs Out Loud Entourage group. Say hello. It's the official Bear website, Cubs Out Loud. Pop over to iTunes, rate us. At least, no one really reads those reviews besides us. We'll read them verbatim if you do post one. You can subscribe to us through Google Play Podcast. Listen to us in Stitcher Radio. Give us a thumbs up there. We appreciate that very much. Find me anywhere on the internet. It's Box, Tip Box, Puppy Box, Cub Box, something or other.
You can either find me as TheaterCub79 or Pup_Umbra, Theater79 or whatnot on the various spaces.
You can find me as GearBear73. Pretty much, there's a place to be online.
Nice. Bruce?
Oh, pretty much anywhere. Usual haunts, Bruiser or Bruiser UK.
Cool.
And you can find me under thepupupthere.tumblr.com or find me through other people on Facebook.
And with that, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Have a good one, y'all.
Good night.
I think Sonnet is glaring at me.
Uh-oh.
You've been neglecting him.
She's glaring at me because we're like 20 minutes late for her dinner and walk.
It's like 20 minutes late for us to go to bed. It's 11 p.m. here.
Oh, that's true. Hey, I'm going to stop.
Well.